is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And we are joined by Mr. Craig Willen, chairman of the World Symposium on Manned Electric Flight. Not unmanned electric flight, manned electric flight.
Right.
That's, which is something we hadn't thought even possible 5 years ago.
No, absolutely not. The technology's really come around.
People look back, back to the late 1880s. There were concepts for electric submarines, and when Henry Ford started with his wonderful endeavor back in 1902, 1903, electric cars were kind of course, very new back then. His wife, Clara Ford, she had such a hatred for the smelly old stinky pop cars that the only car she drove was the Detroit Electric car. So, and that car is in the Henry Ford Museum, matter of fact. So, you know, electric mobility on the planet ground-wise has been around for quite a while. You know, the advent or the possibility of electric flight, you know, really goes back to the late 1970s, early 1980s. Dr. Paul McCready, a lot of things he did kind of set the stage for where we're at today. But, you know, it was pretty much launched here by EAA 4 or 5 years ago. The concept of, is it possible? It's not only possible, but it's probable.
So, well, I would think that a lot of the technology has grown out of the model world because they really took off on electric motors and stuff.
It has. I think that's popularized the concept, lowered the price, raised the awareness around the world of electric flight. But taking it to the level of manned electric flight, more than just drones, is another endeavor that involves a lot of safety issues, too. And that's some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about. On Friday, I'm going to give some opening remarks, but I'm also going to give a talk in the afternoon on the efforts of ASTM as a standards body around the world. And I've been a member of that for about 30 years. And I have written, it's one of these things that I took the responsibility on about a year ago, to write the ASTM specification for electric propulsion units for light sport aircraft. And we've had three ballots. We're going to be meeting on Thursday, a special committee meeting of ASTM, and hopefully hash through the last of the negatives. And we're hoping, and cross our fingers, that come Friday when Randy Babbitt is here, that we'll be able to present to him a final draft approved by the voting members of ASTM for them to go forth and make an allowance for electric propulsion units for light sport aircraft, which is not allowed right now. It wasn't envisioned, you know, 10, 15 years ago when light sport came out. It's just one of those things that we didn't think about it, so it didn't go down, you know, so it's not allowed today. So, you know, our desire through EAA is to fill the skies with electric flyers. And the experimental category is always an avenue that you can do it by. But the numbers we want to see, it's got to be with a turnkey approach that's a manufactured approach where you can write a check and they pitch you the keys and you can fly an electric airplane. So, you know, the technology we're at right now is an hour to an hour and a half in duration. And if you go out and really study the FAA statistics on the point in time when a pilot, whether it be a sport pilot or a recreational pilot or a private pilot, gets his ticket, you know, how far does he stray from his home airport during his career, his life as a pilot? And it's about 160 miles. You know, my longest cross country has been about 400 miles. I'm a little bit outside the box in a way, but, you know, we are virtually at this year on technology of the flight duration and distance that meets the mean, the statistical mean of the FAA for flying, you know, recreational flying with electric aircraft right now. So there will be a big development in the future, but we're there.
That's very interesting because I would not have, I mean, that's the first thing you think of, an hour and a half. That's nothing.
Well,
right. What are you going to do with that?
You know, how I fly today is why do we fly? You know, it's just the, right. You get goosebumps, you get a grin on your face. You know, I learned to fly in 1972. When I do an end of runway run-up and point it on the runway and pour the coals to it, I still get the same old grin I did in 1972. I haven't lost it. So to go up on a Saturday morning, have a pancake breakfast, go get a hamburger, fly the pattern, touch and goes. It's just the joy of flight. And, hey, with electric flight, you're doing something highly efficient. You're doing something that's good for the planet. You've got to be a good steward of what we are. You know, and I'm an aircraft engineer, proud to be a metallurgist. You know, it's just doing more with less, and all everything points to that this truly is the future, not only for aviation, but you look at the good things that Ford's done for EAA, and I drive a Ford Fusion hybrid, bought it a year and a half ago or whatever, love the car, because I feel proud that I've never had a car, but I feel proud owning.
But he just wants to rip the batteries and motor out of it and put a
microplane.
No kidding. I'm thinking the exact same thing. I've got an electric clunker. It's 20 years old. Let's put it in an airplane.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things that has been a major issue with the hybrid automobiles and is also going to become an issue with aircraft as well is battery safety. Yeah,
that's got to be battery safety.
Battery safety. With the Li-Poly batteries model aviators use, and I've seen this personally, they don't like to be abused. They don't like overheating, and they don't like it when they take high physical forces, which we call in the model aviation world a crash.
Right.
And I have literally seen guys bringing in large Li-Poly packs by the cord, and the thing is smoking.
Sure.
Now, what are we going to do about making the battery technology safe to the point where you can put it in an airplane and not have to worry about that?
The battery chemistry of lithium batteries, you know, lithium is element number 3 right behind helium, which is right behind hydrogen. So it's an elemental element of the universe. It's inherently the very best that we have in electrochemistry to do batteries. The original lithium-ion, lithium-polymer batteries, the electrolytes are very, very different than what we're familiar with lead-acid and cars or anything else, which have, involve acids, which can be dangerous too. So, the chemistries of modern technology batteries are evolving almost monthly, and issues of overheating and fires and things like that in the past, I believe, are things of in the past. We're bringing in on Wednesday the chief scientist of the Argonne National Laboratories, Dr. Hillebrand. They've had great success in working on what they call lithium air battery, which in essence removes the electrolyte and it becomes its air. So, there are great things that are happening all the time. So we have a profound sense of safety for all these things, and that's a underlying tenet of the ASTM spec, that we're going to do no harm, the safety issues, but yet we don't want to inhibit the advance of innovation and technology, because you're dealing with aircraft that's fossil fuel, you're dealing with that gasoline that's flammable and explosive, and we've learned to understand that as a fuel and to live with it and deal with it and make it safe also. But with electric, with flight, you have issues of fire and overheating. You have issues with high voltages, too, because the higher the voltage, the more efficient it becomes.
Right.
The other people, a number of people are dealing with voltages that are in the 200 and 300-volt range. And, hybrids are that. The Prius and the Ford hybrids and everything else, they're 300 volts, and they're DC voltages. But it's, don't fear the unknown. Otherwise, we have never, got off a horse and hopped into a horseless carriage.
That's true. That's one of the things that I've always been curious about is the goal for electric flight. Are we talking eventually getting to the point of cross-country, or is this strictly for the guy who wants to come home after a rough day and just putter around the field for a while?
Right now it's local type flights. We don't foresee, Boeing converting a 777 or a 787 to this type of a flight, no. Right now, one of the downsides of electrification is your propellant you drag back home.
Right, you land with full gross weight.
You land with the full reserves, okay. With the full weight that you took off with. Now, to counterbalance that is you have a propulsion efficiency that's 300 to 400% that of the best internal combustion engine. The best out there is 27%, turbocharged diesel. You can get catalog of motors right now at 96-97%. A special order on some of the stuff that NASA's doing and some DARPA projects for the Air Force is at 98-99% theoretical efficiency. So, that counteracts that right there. You still have some weight issues. We're working on the weight issues. But I think a great thing for EAA and really for aviation is over here in the Aviation Learning Center, Sikorsky has brought a manned electric helicopter. Now, I came up through the Bell helicopter ranks, and powered vertical lift is an order of magnitude, a factor of 10, more difficult than wing-borne lift. And Sikorsky has over there this is not a model, this is not a toy, it's not a drone, this is a manned electric helicopter, and this is Sikorsky. This brings amazing emphasis on and technology to what we're chasing right now. So,
all right. Well, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for allowing me to spew off at the mouth a little bit on what my passion is for electric flight.
Hey, no problem there. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.